In an article in The Spectator in 2015, the author James Bartholomew coined the term virtue signaling with the article that he entitled Easy Virtue. In it, Bartholomew pointed out how much easier it is to attract the approval of others by publicly talking about what you hate and what you approve of, rather than by quietly and privately actually doing what is good. The Oxford Dictionary now has a definition for virtue signaling, which describes it as the act of expressing your opinions about social or political issues in public in order to show other people that you are a good person. And I have to say, it's something that really annoys me. When an MP jumps on a social justice bandwagon, the big issue of the day, that they haven't really even thought about much before, but they know if they say the right thing that it might actually get them a few votes. Or maybe the celebrity who makes a big show of supporting and giving money to a popular social cause, clearly just to grow their fan base. Or when that company, a big company, takes on a charity to make it look like they're giving something back to the community or supporting a worthy cause, but it's simply a marketing or recruitment ploy with that photo opportunity with the big check that ends up on a local newspaper or even on a national newspaper. I find myself getting really annoyed and angry at this kind of thing. And maybe you do too. Why? Well, it's just so obvious that the words and actions are hollow, aren't they? The hypocrisy is so obvious. If that celebrity cared so much about global warming, why are they jetting off on a private jet at every opportunity? And if the politician really cared so much about that issue, why did they wait until it became popular to actually do something about it? They're all desperate for people to like them and to think that they're kind and caring. They're clamoring for the acclaim of others about their good deeds. And I get so annoyed. But today's passage stops me in my self-righteous tracks. As Paul Tripp says, it is always more spiritually dangerous to allow yourself to be more upset by the sin of other people around you than you are with your own sin. So before we think of all the other people we think need to hear this, maybe the famous people or maybe other people sat in this room that you think need to hear it, shall we ask God to apply this to our own hearts? Let's take a moment to pray. Father, we are quick to see the sin in others. We're quick to grow angry at other people's self-righteousness, but Lord, we do pray this morning you would open our hearts to hear the truth we need to hear. Help us, Lord, first to look at our own hearts, to see the sin in our own hearts. And Lord, would you do your work? We pray you might convict us. You'd help us to see our desperate need of you. We would pray that you would help us to see your righteousness and your grace upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. But what Jesus says today really does hold up a mirror to us. He says, beware. Beware your own virtue signaling or your righteousness signaling. Jesus knows those who follow him will need to hear this warning. A warning about the battle that's going on in our hearts. A battle he knows we will all face. Verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Jesus has talked about two kinds of righteousness in his sermon so far. First was back in verse 20. Sorry, it's not moving on. Could you click it on for me? I need waking up. Verse 20, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus is saying there is a so-called righteousness that falls short of God's righteousness. It's the type of righteousness that the Pharisees practice. But the interesting thing is, it looks a lot like righteousness. It involves giving to the needy, praying long, deeply theological prayers, and fasting. Well, that sounds pretty good. What's the problem? I mean, these are exactly the kinds of things we use to judge how holy people are, right? Just like the Jewish audience that Jesus is talking to, we make judgments about how righteous people are based on their outward appearance and their spiritual performance. We rank people in our private righteousness spreadsheets, and then we work out how we compare. I'm definitely more godly than him, but possibly less than her. Maybe if I try a bit harder with my memory verses, if I go to a few more prayer meetings, read a book by a Puritan. But Jesus has a word for us. Beware. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. The phrase to be seen in this passage is the Greek word theomai, from which we get the word theater. And it helps us to see what is at the heart of this kind of righteousness. Why it's really no righteousness at all. Now, in the highly formal religious culture in which Jesus is speaking, the Pharisees were the masters at being seen by men. Virtue signaling is what they do best. It's their craft. It's their greatest skill. And so Jesus' words here are towards people like them and those that they are influencing. Because what he says shows that they are most concerned by what other men think of them. They loved human praise more than God's praise. Their primary audience is other people. They desire the approval of man. And in so doing, Jesus reveals the heart of practicing your righteousness before others to be seen is the belief that you are the star. It's about putting yourself in the spotlight so that everyone can see how good you are. Oh, isn't she godly? Isn't he holy? It's all about you. But Jesus is saying, beware. Beware this desire of doing your good deeds in order to be the center stage. Because in the very process, you will expose yourself as having no real righteousness at all. You see, there's another kind of righteousness that Jesus has talked about in his sermon, which he began in verse 10. Back in the Beatitudes, he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. This is a righteousness that is far beyond anything the Pharisees could dream of. It's the righteousness of God himself. It's perfection. And as we've seen throughout Jesus' sermon, it's the only ticket into the kingdom of God. Jesus said, unless you have this righteousness, you'll be turned away at the door. But here's the shock. Jesus is giving these tickets away. For free. Because nobody could ever afford one. So he paid the price. And now he offers free entry into the very kingdom of God. But only to the people who realize they haven't got a ticket. You see, most of us, most people, already think they've got the ticket. The Pharisees certainly did. They thought they were going to be able to turn up with their righteousness ticket at the door and waltz straight in. But Jesus is preaching a sermon to show your ticket is a fraud. It's not the real deal. Your righteousness doesn't match God's righteousness. It's empty and it's hollow. And Jesus is preaching this so that we would throw out our fake righteousness because we realize it's useless. And start to crave what we really need. Start to hunger and thirst for true righteousness. Have you ever been so thirsty that you're absolutely gasping, desperate for a drink? When your mouth is so dry and your lips are chapped, the only thing that will satisfy you is a large glass of cold water. We all need water to survive. The average person can only survive for about 3 days without water. But Jesus is saying there's actually something even more vital, which we all desperately need. Righteousness. We need the righteousness of God more than we need water, because without it, we will face eternal death. And Jesus is preaching this entire sermon so that we'd recognize our need and cry out to him, so that he might satisfy us. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Jesus alone has the righteousness we need. He has the ticket into heaven, and he will give it to us at no cost if we will only come to him. But can you see how different this righteousness is from the righteousness of the Pharisees? This righteousness is something completely different. This righteousness isn't something that I achieve. It's not something I show off. Because the whole point is, I don't have it in myself. It's given to me by Jesus. Jesus has walked into a culture of righteousness, which is nothing more than virtue signaling. And if we're honest, we can very easily find ourselves part of a similar culture. Because we love it. We love it when people tell us how amazing they think we are, how kind we are. And it's like a drug. It gives us such a buzz. And so we seek more of it, more approval, more respect. We try to make sure others see what we're doing, that they know the good works we've been up to and hear about how devoted to God we are. Subtly, of course. Just dropping it in here and there, the things that we've done. But there's nothing subtle about what's going on in our hearts. We've shifted the spotlight away from Jesus and his free gift of grace and onto ourselves and our fake version. I know we've got a few budding actors, dancers, and musicians here who are used to performing on stage. So you're regularly experiencing being under the spotlight. You know the feeling of the heat on your face and the blinding glare of knowing that everyone, every eye on the room is trained on you. And it can feel really exhilarating. Everyone's looking at me. Everyone's adoring me. They're all applauding. It's so satisfying while it lasts. But the problem is, under the spotlight, there's no room to hide. If you slip up, forget your words, the wrong step, play a bum note, everyone sees. And so it only takes a second to lose everything. Instead of applauding, people are frowning and shaking their heads, maybe walking out. Suddenly, being in the spotlight is the last place you want to be. You see, we weren't actually made for the spotlight. And that is what Jesus is warning all about. He's warning us about seeking to glorify ourselves in expense of God. He's warning of hearts that are faking it, trying to look righteous when actually our hearts are far from God. And we're really seeking our own glory, seeking the praise from others that belongs only to God. Because practicing righteousness to be seen is to undermine righteousness. It's such a helpful warning because it's something that every heart is prone to, because it's where sin naturally leads us. Because sin is an act of putting ourselves in the place of God. It's exactly what sin is. That's why any form of righteousness that demands that I am seen and praised is nothing more than sin in disguise. And that's exactly what Jesus is warning us of. Verse 2. So when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, and they may be praised by others. Verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Verse 16, when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Again, the word hypocrite comes from the Greek word, which means an actor or a stage player. Once again, we're back at the theatre. To be a hypocrite is to pretend to be what you're not, to desire to be seen as someone you're not, just like an actor on a stage. And that's what we become when we try to act like we have any righteousness of our own that is deserving of praise. It's a total sham. It's hypocrisy. Because the whole point that Jesus is making is that true righteousness is given. The only way I can possess righteousness is if he gives it to me. And what do you do when you get a gift? Do you run around saying, look what I have, aren't I amazing? And that'd be ridiculous. Because you contributed nothing, it was given to you. No, instead you say, look what someone gave me. Aren't they generous? Aren't they amazing? Hypocrisy is what happens when we take our eyes off God and start to forget that any true good in us is a gift from him. You see, it's not that we aren't to do good. Remember back to chapter 5 and verse 16, Jesus said, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. Have we got a contradiction? No. Why is it that people are to see our good works? So that those who see would give God the glory. The righteousness of God's people should be visible. If you've chosen to follow Jesus, your righteousness will be visible. But it will be visible in a way that shines a spotlight on Jesus, not you, so that God may be glorified. That is the ultimate goal for the follower of Jesus. And it's the only way not to be a hypocrite. Our good works are for a far higher purpose than us getting a pat on the back and being well thought of. Therefore, putting God center stage where he belongs. that people will see him in us, the source and power of all that is good in us, and praise and glorify him. Good works done in secret for God's glory are truly beautiful and holy. And yet what Jesus is warning of here is the danger of us pursuing the complete opposite through our good works, whether it's in our giving to the needy, or our praying, or our fasting. And with each of these good works, giving, prayer, and fasting, he takes us through the same four steps. Firstly, each time he warns us of the danger of our hearts leading us into hypocrisy. So verse 2. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Maybe you can think of people you know who are incredibly generous, but who advertise it as much as they can. It's pretty ugly, isn't it? But I think the scary truth is, we all do it. I can think of many times when I've told a story of something that I have done, and I subtly try to make it sound like I don't want the glory, but I know in my heart I'm hoping they do give me the glory. And then when they do, I play it down, oh no, really, it was nothing. But even then, I'm just looking for more praise. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Ridiculous that I would want the praise for giving when I have nothing to give that wasn't given to me by God. When we make our giving an opportunity to show off, it's actually tragic. Because it's the very opposite of generous. We become thieves, robbing God of his glory. Similarly with prayer. Verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. It's possible to be a hypocrite even as you pray. I know I've been in prayer meetings where I've been planning my next prayer so that people would hear it and think it was a good prayer. When prayer becomes a show, it's no longer prayer. It's an empty performance. When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. And maybe you will be heard and seen and admired by those around you, but God's not impressed. Do not be like them, Jesus says. And so Jesus has a personal warning. And it's a typically frank warning about the severity of where this false righteousness, where sin ends up. It's where he started. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Nothing should scare us more than that. And Jesus kindly gives us this warning to help us protect our hearts. To continually check our hearts and to give our hearts to God. To remember we remain completely dependent on him to transform our hearts. Without his help, we slip back into selfish, sinful mentality. Where we put ourselves back in the spotlight. And that is a slippery slope to making ourselves God of our lives again. Isn't it frightening that the devotional practices of prayer, fasting, and sacrificial giving that are designed to draw us closer to God and that can be such a blessing to us and all those around us are the very things that Jesus says we are likely to corrupt and turn into sin? How terrible that we would take these beautiful acts of devotion and make them about us. It's turned from self-sacrifice to self-service. From personal relationship with God to personal promotion of self. From devotion to display. This is what happens when we take our eyes off God. When we stop seeking only his approval and having him as the only audience that matters. When that vertical relationship with God is lost, then all that is left is the horizontal and the inward. And so we start doing things for others' approval or for our own approval. And it's so easily done. Going to that prayer meeting to be seen and praised for being there. Putting the chairs away to be seen and praised. Signing up to the reading rota to be seen up the front and praised. Preaching to be seen and praised. When I was training and learning to preach, we were all desperate for praise on our practice sermons, for that positive feedback. And one of our lecturers reminded us, we preach to an audience of one. It's only his approval that matters in anything we do. Going to the prayer meeting is a very good thing to do. Putting the chairs away is a good thing. Being on the reading rota is a very good thing. Having a desire to preach God's word is an excellent thing. But not if your motivation is to be seen and praised. If that is your motivation, then it's a sign that your heart is in the wrong place. And God said, if that is your motivation, you'll get what you want. You'll receive the reward you seek. People will see you. They will be impressed. They will praise you. But that's all you'll get. And you will lose the far, far greater reward. Jesus says, don't think you can have both that reward and the reward of your heavenly Father. It's one or the other. So choose your audience and choose your reward. Is your audience going to be man? And is your reward going to be hearing people saying, such a great guy, such a kind man. Oh, he's so godly. Or is your reward going to be the eternal reward? The reward from the unchanging one who sets his love on you freely and unconditionally in Jesus. A reward which Paul describes as an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And which Peter describes as an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. I want that reward. Don't you? So how should we respond? Well, that's the third step. When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Did you notice there's a second audience that's there in verse 3? And I think it shows us how devious our hearts are. It certainly convicts me of how devious I am. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Jesus knows us better than ourselves. It's possibly not only to want the approval of others, but equally to want to our own sense of how great we are. Allowing yourself to take pride in how very good and holy you think you are. So devious is our heart that whilst I might take steps to keep my giving quiet from other people, simultaneously in my own heart, I might dwell on it smugly. Giving myself a good pat on the back, in my mind, raising myself above others who I think are less holy and righteous. Dietrich Bonhoeffer again wrote, I can lay on a very nice show for myself, even in the privacy of my own room. So we can also choose to receive our reward from ourselves. Jesus is warning us not to seek our reward now from such earthly, pathetic things. Because although you might enjoy the reward of man's praise now, it's fleeting. It is rewarding in the moment, but it soon passes. And in choosing this reward, you lose the eternal reward of God. Listen to that again, because that is the most terrible thing to hear. Let's hear it from Jesus again. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who's in heaven. If you find yourself convicted, heed the warning. Repent. Turn back to God. Say sorry to God and ask him to work in your heart afresh, to help you to have a true love of Jesus, not a fake righteousness. And ask him to help you to seek to do all things to please him and him alone. Once again, we need him to do it in us. It is all of him. God wants our hearts, not our works. Truly good works only come from hearts that are wholly focused on Jesus. And we need him to do that work in us. We so often desire to be seen by others, but to hide from God, as if we could. God knows our hearts completely. We cannot hide from him. Your Father sees in secret, Jesus says. And yet, if we choose to acknowledge our desperate need for his righteousness, because our sins, we are simply a fraud, then he gives us the authentic righteousness of Jesus for free. If you are in Christ, then when the Father looks on you, he sees his blood covering you and his perfection in place of your flaws. And what's more, he sees the acts that flow from the righteousness of his Son, and he will reward us for them. How crazy is that? To be rewarded by God for something he gave us in the first place. Because in the fourth and final step, Jesus says, when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. As with prayer, your Father sees and will reward you. When you fast, your Father sees in secret and will reward you. Rather than showing off for man's fleeting praise, better by far is to do our righteousness in secret for the audience of one. Because your Father sees in secret and will reward you. What a promise. You can trust that God, the Almighty Creator, our Father who sits enthroned in heaven, the sustainer and maker of all that we see, will reward you. And it's a reward that is beyond our comprehension. A reward that is eternal and will fulfill our every desire. The reward is relationship with our Almighty God and Creator, our Father, given to us as a result of Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. Given to us by grace, but experienced and enjoyed now and into eternity. All the way through the Sermon on the Mount so far, we see that blessed are those who mourn. By which we saw that he's saying, blessed are those who mourn their sinfulness, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. And as our hearts long for these things, they find their fulfillment and satisfaction in relationship with him. Do you want the praise of men instead? You'll get it, but that's all you'll get. But if you're seeking a relationship with our Heavenly Father, where there is integrity there, not hypocrisy, and there is joy and intimacy and delight there, not pressure to show off and prove yourself, and there is eternal satisfaction instead of fickle, fleeting emotional highs, praise God. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we want to take this moment to say sorry. We are so sorry that we so quickly turn to sin, that we so quickly want to put ourselves in the center of everything, to be praised by man, to look good to others, and we rob you of your glory. Lord, everything we have comes from you, and ultimately our salvation, our righteousness comes from you. Lord, help us to take to heart what we've heard from Jesus this morning, and once again, to give you our hearts. Lord, do your work in us. Make us more like your Son, Jesus. Give us the righteousness that is not in ourselves, but is only from you. That we will be those who serve you because we are in relationship with you and because we only care what you think. And Lord, we thank you and praise you that you promise us that great reward. We don't deserve it. You are so gracious. Thank you for all that you are doing in and through us. And would you continue your work, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.